All right. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, please. Colossians 1, verse 9. And I will read to verse 12. This is Paul, one of Paul's prayers. He what says is, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and in increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened just with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, and giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Okay. Tonight I want to focus on the second thing Paul prayed for, just concerning the Colossians, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I believe many believers today are not concerned enough with walking worthy. They are not concerned about pleasing the Lord. They are only concerned about pleasing themselves. Instead of the church being strengthened, it has become selfish and weak. Let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that Your Word is truth. Thank You, Lord, that You have given it to us, that Your Word speaks to us, that it guides us, that it gives us hope, that it gives us peace, and that it tells us how one ought to live in this dark world. And Lord, as we this evening talk about what it means to walk worthy, may You help us to understand. May You quicken our minds. May You give me clarity of thought and of speech. May You help me, Lord, to clearly present Your Word. And we just give it into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Roman numeral. Number one in your outline. Well, I'm sorry, just number one. I would switch back and forth. I had three outlines since yesterday. I had three ways I was going to present this, and nothing was clear, and I'm not sure that it's still quite clear. I know what I want to say, but I'm not sure how to say it. And so just since yesterday, I've had three outlines for this message. So it's back to number one. Number one, just what does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? First of all, just walk means to live. It means to follow, means to tread all around or to be occupied with. It is used of our conduct, our behavior, and manner of life. Children, what is your behavior like? As you walk, there's a behavior involved. What is your behavior like? Adults, what is your behavior like? I know some adults that that live like children. Yes, we should have a childlike faith, but we shouldn't behave like children. That word worthy means to live after a godly sort. It is sufficient as God sees it or what wants it to be. We are to walk worthy. Walk as God wants us to walk. Our behavior ought to match what God expects it and what wants it to be. As we follow God, our conduct ought to also line up. Our manner of life ought to be modeled after Jesus Christ. And then the word pleasing means to endeavor to please. In this case, please God. Vines puts it this way, to be pleasing to, or it means to be acceptable to. How we walk, it ought to be worthy, and it ought to be pleasing to the Lord. As I was looking at this today, God gave me an example. In what Hebrews 11:5, it says this about Enoch. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. He was walking worthy. He walked worthy. The goal of walking worthy is to please the Lord. We either please ourselves or we please the Lord. Who are you pleasing? In Ephesians 4:1, Paul says this, therefore, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Walking worthy is not an option. It's a command. We need to walk worthy. After seeing these, what these here words mean, now I would need to ask thee what next question, number two, is how do I walk worthy? What can I do to please the Lord and walk worthy? God, in His Word, has told us how we can walk worthy. And I'm going to give you five reasons. There are more, but I had to cut some out and try to fit some others in because I happen to like word searches. And I looked up the word walk. Well, guess what? That is a big word that has many different ways to walk in. And I must have come up with, I don't know how many different walk in, walk after, on and on and on and on it went. And so I picked out five things. And I thought of David here, because there were five giants. We're going to talk about David in a little bit. There were five giants. And David picked up five stones. And so these are stones. Five things here of things that is we can walk in. And so number one, we walk worthy. It's when we walk in newness of life. Turn to Romans 6, please. Romans 6, 4. We walk worthy when we walk in newness of life. Let me begin in what verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are not to walk in our old sins. And I know that those old sins rear their ugly head. Every just once in a while, those past pet sins seek to grab hold of your life again. But we need to say no. We need to resist and just we need to walk in newness of life. That word newness means renewal. It means freshness. And what Romans 12:2, Paul said this, be what transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day there's a battle for your mind. Every single day. If you watch TV, just you're being bombarded. We don't have cable. We watch videos once in a while. But just when I go to my parents and I watch commercials, I'm awestruck by all the sex that is used to sell everything. We are bombarded every day. We need to renew. We need freshness. We need to live in that, in the newness of life. It's important. About a month ago, I was very encouraged by just one of my children. Little Esther. I had sent her to bed. But, you know, she didn't go to bed right away. And I said, Esther, just what are you still doing up? Well, Dad, I am reading my Bible. Wow. Esther's only 7. But I've encouraged them. Guys, every single day, read God's Word. Renew your mind. Every day. It's that important. If you want to walk worthy, walk in newness of life. That pleases the Lord. Okay, secondly, let's turn over two chapters to just Romans chapter 8, verse 4. I will begin in verse 1 as well. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are not to fulfill those lustful desires of the flesh. We all face them every day. In what stead we are to walk after the Spirit. What does this mean? What means that we are to walk after those things that please God. We are to live according to holiness. The Wycliffe Bible commentary put it this way: those who realize this purpose of God live in accordance with the Spirit, not in accordance with the flesh. We should always set God always before us and act as those who are always under His eye. A wise missionary once told me, I happened to be teasing someone. It was fun teasing, since we always did it. And she turned to me and said these words: always remember, God is watching. God is watching us. Are we walking after the Spirit or after the flesh? We need to walk after the Spirit. That means that we will put God first and ourselves last. Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. It is not easy. That too is a daily battle, just like renewing the mind. It's a daily battle. Now let's move out of Romans to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 7, it says simply this: for we walk by faith, not by sight. And I know sometimes this is so difficult. When my wife died, I was walking by sight. Lord, what am I going to do? I've got 6 children. Walk by faith. Keep trusting. That word faith means assurance, belief, constancy in what such profession. That word sight means appearance. Sometimes we are deceived by appearances. And so we can't walk by sight. We are to stay just focused on the Lord, not on the circumstances around us. An example of this is what found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. Between just Goliath and David. Picture this: on one mountain are the Philistines and Goliath. On the other mountain are the Israelites. And twice a day, morning, evening, out comes Goliath, taunting Israel. And just what does Israel see? Just that giant. They see nothing else. Just one giant and his armor bearer. That's all they see twice a day. And then along comes a teenager named David, a keeper of the sheep. He was sent by his father. He came just at the right time. And he hears the battle cry and he goes to the front line. And just what does he see? He doesn't see a giant. He sees God. In verse 47, this is what he says. His last words before going to battle, he says this: "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." You know, David saw the Lord. That there Goliath, he was just a circumstance. And David knew God is going to give you circumstance into my hand. He walked by faith, not by sight. He walked by faith. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He had already experienced God's help with the bear and the lion. He knew God was there. He couldn't see God, but he knew he was there. He was walking by faith, not by sight. What giant stands in your valley? What giant is keeping you from walking worthy? Is it fear? And that's a big giant. Is it depression? Is it loneliness? These are real things. Walk by faith, not by sight. And our next passage is a very familiar passage. It is in Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. It says this. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Them is good works. We are to walk in good works. We ought to be doing good works for others. God has told us here to do good works. That word good means something that brings benefit. Now, I've got a good example here. I had some guys come over just right after we had what realized that Ellen was what pregnant with Cody. And what also had what cancer. And a few guys came over to help. We had to get the nursery ready. And so I had to tear out a wall. But unfortunately, just that wall just was attached to a finished wall. And so these guys came over to help. They were doing a good work for me. But that good work that day just wasn't a benefit. Because they damaged that good wall, taking out the other wall. They were prying it and they popped the plaster and it was a big mess. They tried to do good, but it wasn't a benefit. And this word means benefit. We ought to walk in good works. We ought to be benefiting others. When you walk into someone's house, do they say, oh no, hi to China? If you're there to help, be a benefit. Don't be a hindrance. Be a benefit. That word also means useful. We ought to be useful to the master. If we want to walk worthy, we need to be useful to the master. Now, those guys, they were useful. They did a lot of work, and that closet's done, and it's been painted, and it looks really good. But that particular day, it just gave me some more work to do. But they did a good work. And it benefited Cody. And it benefited me. And my wife. My what children, these last 2 days, I've been in my office trying to do this sermon. And I had to ask them, guys, help each other. Do a good work for one another. Help each other. And you know, periodically, they just would what come into me, Dad, what can I get you? Because they were doing a good work. They were benefiting me. You know, children, you can benefit your parents if you want to. But unfortunately, we are selfish, and just we do not want to benefit others. Every Sunday morning, I see people come in early to get this place ready to worship. They are doing a good work to serve others. God is pleased. They are walking worthy. Our next walk is in Ephesians 5, in verse 2. I'll begin in verse 1. Be ye therefore just followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Who is love? God is love. We ought to imitate God. That word there just loves, just means charity or affection. As we move about, as we walk, we ought to love one another. We ought to be showing charity. And my example here is me. Because I drive, just many miles, and it never fails. Every day, somebody cuts me off. And, I don't show love then. I do not show love at all. I will call him an idiot and a jerk. Instead, I ought to show love by praying for him. By praying for him. That's love. He obviously has a need. It's Christ. And so we need to pray in what that case. Maybe just somebody has a need. We can come alongside and just be there, as Tom mentioned this morning with Job's friends. They didn't say anything. They just sat with him. They were showing love. Love for their friend who had lost everything. They were showing love. Love cost us something. It's an action word. It cost them time. It cost them effort. And they got dirty. And they were smelly on that ash heap. But they were there. And they showed love. We need to walk, We need to walk in newness of life. We need to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. We need to walk in what good works and walk in love. Lastly, in what closing? Okay, number three on your outline is what keeps us from walking worthy? A, our desire to please ourselves. We get in the way of ourselves. We don't want to please God. We've got our own plans, our own, just once, our own desires. We don't want to please God. We don't want to walk worthy. I want to do this. I want to do that. Our own selfishness gets in the way. We want to please ourselves and not God. Secondly, not keeping our eyes on the Lord. And I go back to David again. What an example. His eyes were on the Lord the whole time in that battle. He didn't see that giant because his eyes weren't on the giant. It was just a circumstance. We need to please God, not ourselves. And we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us to walk worthy of our calling. Help us to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Lord, give us a desire to please You, not ourselves. It is so easy, Lord, to desire things that only last for a short time. But Lord, pleasing You lasts for all eternity. Lord, help us to want to please You in Jesus' name. Amen.